listening to Singularity, episode 29, a reading from A Course in Miracles, chapter 4, part 4. This need not be. Hello, Miracle Makers. This is Angie, your host of Singularity. Listen or read along each Tuesday as we read our way through A Course in Miracles. Welcome to this week's reading of A Course in Miracles. We'll be reading part 4 of chapter 4, This Need Not Be. Paragraph 1. If you cannot hear the voice for God, it's because you do not choose to listen. That you do listen to the voice of your ego is demonstrated by your attitudes, your feelings, and your behavior. Yet this is what you want. This is what you are fighting to keep, and what you are vigilant to save. Your mind is filled with schemes to save the face of your ego, and you do not seek the face of Christ. The glass in which ego seeks to see its face is dark indeed. How can it maintain the trick of its existence, except with mirrors? But where you look to find yourself is up to you. Paragraph 2. I have said that you cannot change your mind by changing your behavior, but I have also said, and many times, that you can change your mind. When your moods tell you that you have chosen wrongly, and this is so whenever you are not joyous, then know this need not be. In every case you've thought wrongly about some brother God created, and are perceiving images your ego makes in a darkened glass, think honestly what you've thought that God would not have thought, and what you have not thought that God would have you think. Search sincerely for what you've done and left undone accordingly, and then change your mind to think with God's. This may seem hard to do, but it is much easier than trying to think against it. Your mind is one with God's. Denying this and thinking otherwise has held your ego together, but has literally split your mind. As a loving brother, I am deeply concerned with your mind and urge you to follow my example as you look at yourself and at your brother and see in both the glorious creations of a glorious Father. Paragraph 3. When you're sad, know this need not be. Depression comes from a sense of being deprived of something you want or do not have. Remember that you are deprived of nothing, except by your own decisions, and then decide otherwise. Paragraph 4. When you are anxious, realize that anxiety comes from the capriciousness of the ego, and know this need not be. You can be as vigilant against the ego's dictates as for them. Paragraph 5. When you feel guilty, remember that the ego has indeed violated the laws of God, but you have not. Leave the sins of the ego to me. That is what atonement is for. But until you change your mind about those whom your ego has hurt, the atonement cannot release you. While you feel guilty, your ego is in command, because only the ego can experience guilt. This need not be. Paragraph 6. Watch your mind for the temptations of the ego, and don't be deceived by it. It offers you nothing. When you've given up this voluntary dispiriting, you'll see how your mind can focus and rise above fatigue and heal. Yet you're not sufficiently vigilant against the demands of the ego to disengage yourself. This need not be. Paragraph 7. The habit of engaging with God and His creations is easily made if you actively refuse to let your mind slip away. The problem is not one of concentration. It's the belief that no one, including yourself, is worth consistent effort. Side with me consistently against this deception, and don't permit this shabby belief to pull you back. The disheartened are useless to themselves and to me, but only the ego can be disheartened. Paragraph 8. Have you really considered how many opportunities you've had to gladden yourself, and how many of them you've refused? There is no limit to the power of a son of God, but he can limit the expression of his power as much as he chooses. Your mind and mine can unite in shining your ego away, releasing the strength of God into everything you think and do. Do not settle for anything less than this, and refuse to accept anything but this as your goal. Watch your mind carefully for any beliefs that hinder its accomplishments, and step away from them. Judge how well you've done this by your own feelings, for this is the one right use of judgment. Judgment, like any other defense, can be used to attack or protect, to hurt or to heal. The ego should be brought to judgment and found wanting there. Without your own allegiance, protection, and love, the ego cannot exist. Let it be judged, truly, and you must withdraw allegiance, protection, and love from it.
Paragraph 9. You are a mirror of truth, in which God Himself shines in perfect light. To the ego's dark glass, you need but say, I will not look there because I know these images are not true. Then, let the Holy One shine on you in peace, knowing that this and only this must be. His mind shone on you in your creation and brought your mind into being. His mind still shines on you and must shine through you. Your ego cannot prevent Him from shining on you, but it can prevent you from letting Him shine through you.
Paragraph 10. The first coming of Christ is merely another name for the creation, for Christ is the Son of God. The second coming of Christ means nothing more than the end of the ego's rule and the healing of the mind. I was created like you in the first, and I've called you to join me in the second. I am in charge of the second coming, and my judgment, which is used only for protection, cannot be wrong because it never attacks. Yours may be so distorted that you believe I was mistaken in choosing you. I assure you this is a mistake of your ego. Don't mistake it for humility. Your ego is trying to convince you that it's real and I'm not, because if I'm real, I am no more real than you are. That knowledge, and I assure you that it's knowledge, means that Christ has come into your mind and healed it. Paragraph 11. I don't attack your ego. I do work with your higher mind, the home of the Holy Spirit, whether you're asleep or awake, just as your ego does with your lower mind, which is its home. I am your vigilance in this because you are too confused to recognize your own hope. I'm not mistaken. Your mind will elect to join with mine, and together we're invincible. You and your brother will yet come together in my name, and your sanity will be restored. I raise the dead by knowing that life is an eternal attribute of everything that the living God created. Why do you believe it's harder for me to inspire the dispirited or to stabilize the unstable? I do not believe that there is an order of difficulty in miracles. You do. I've called you and you will answer. I understand that miracles are natural because they are an expression of love. My calling you is as natural as your answer and as inevitable. This concludes today's reading of A Course in Miracles. I'm humbled to be a part of your journey. Until next time, keep shining.